Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. We've been talking about the load balancer and how it routes traffic from the internet to a virtual machine, and then how traffic is load balanced inside of Azure. So in this module, I want to add one more kind of related item to this. I want to talk about virtual and reserved IP addresses for use in Azure virtual machines. Now, way back in the second module of this course, I said that whenever you provision a new virtual machine, it's going to be provisioned with several things, not the least of which is two IP addresses. There is going to be a public virtual IP address and then a private IP address. Let's talk about the public virtual IP address first. This IP address can be used to access resources on the virtual machine from outside of Azure, so on the internet at large. So, for example, if you're hosting internet information services inside of a virtual machine and you want to open up HTTP, so you want to serve up websites through IIS on the virtual machine, you're going to get a virtual IP address. It's going to be unique to you. You can use it for as long as you keep that virtual machine up and running. And you can even use a DNS record to map www.whatever.com to that virtual machine. And the Azure Load Balancer will send that request right to that virtual machine, and life is good. So the second IP address that's provisioned to a virtual machine whenever you create one is for internal communication inside of Azure only. So this is used by the Azure Load Balancer to route requests in a load balancing scenario, and it's also used by virtual machines inside of a virtual network to communicate directly with each other. Now, the problem with both of these IP addresses is that they're not sticky to your subscription. So, for example, you may want to automate the standing up and the shutting down of virtual machines using a PowerShell script. You have the need for different virtual machines at different application tiers to know about each other. Your web tier needs to know the IP address where your web API or your database is. So there's got to be some relationship there, and you can configure that usually with a configuration file or something on the website. But the next time you stand up the virtual machine, it'll have a different virtual IP address and a different private IP address. So in this scenario, you would need to update the public internet DNS service to point to the new virtual IP address, as well as any internal communication that has to happen. You'd have to update the configuration file that points from the web server to the database as well. So obviously this is less than ideal. Now, the good news is that you can replace the virtual IP address with a reserved IP address, which is permanently associated with your subscription for any cloud services and virtual machines inside of a given region. In fact, you can create up to 5 reserved IP addresses per subscription, and you can ask for more if you need them. Now, the bad news, at least for me, is that in order to do this at the time that I'm recording this module, the only way to do this is through PowerShell or through the RESTful HTTP API. So I'm not going to demonstrate how to do this. However, you're going to need to have Azure PowerShell installed, and then you can follow the instructions that you see on this webpage, bit.do/reserved IP addresses. So similarly, you can replace the private internal IP address with a static IP address. This accomplishes basically the same thing that we just discussed, but simply for the IP address that you'll use for private traffic inside of Azure. And this is available only for virtual machines, again, that are inside of virtual networks. So it's only available for machines that are available inside of, that are configured to be inside of a virtual network. And I'm going to talk about virtual networks soon. I've been promising it for a while. We'll get to it. But basically, a virtual network is what it sounds like, a network comprised of virtual machines inside of Azure, which is a gross oversimplification. Again, we'll come back to that soon. All right, so take a look at this URL on screen. This webpage explains the idea further, and it points to step-by-step instructions on how to set this all up yourself. Now, as that web page notes, you may want a static IP address. When you need to rely on an IP address and you don't want to worry about losing that IP address because it would be painful to have to update, again, that configuration file, or it would be painful to... that web page gives a specific case. The author mentions whenever you're adding an Active Directory domain controller to your virtual network and you need a static IP address to give your virtual network's DNS server. So in that case, you would need to have a static IP address that you could rely on. And so that suits that particular scenario. And I think what I just said there might make more sense once we talk about virtual networks in an upcoming module. So we're getting there. Hang in there. You're doing great. We'll see you in the next module. Thank you.